Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Five Rounds Podcast, the only podcast out there with the cardio for those deep water championship rounds. I am Mags, and there's no UFC this weekend, so it gives me the opportunity to do something that I really enjoy doing, and I don't get enough opportunities to do it, I suppose, and that's a deep dive into some of the financials and the payouts from some of the UFC events. Since I last did one, I think there's been 3 numbered UFC pay-per-views, so I'm going to essentially take a look at those. The shows showed a few similarities in booking, so I thought it'd be an interesting comparison to look back at all 3 and kind of just see what the major differences and what the major similarities are in terms of the financial payouts. So first we had UFC 266. This was all the way back in late September, and the similarities that the 3 shows have is that they both were headlined by double title co-main events. So this one had in the middle of the card Nick Diaz versus Robbie Lawler, but it was actually headlined by Valentina Shevchenko defending her women's flyweight title against Lauren Murphy, and Alexander Volkanovski defending his featherweight title against Brian Ortega. So looking at those 2 main fights, and the interest in the payout, so in 4th place is obviously Lauren Murphy, and she is way, way down the list. She doesn't even make the top 10 fighters on this card. Bear in mind, I use the formula from MMASalaries.com. These guys do a lot of great work in kind of guesstimating payouts, because the UFC are notoriously secretive about how much their fighters get in terms of discretionary pays and additional payments. I know that they had to release a lot of the information due to the antitrust lawsuit that they went through in 2019. So there's certain things that we can work out due to pay-per-view bars and how much the fighters get for in terms of pay-per-view points. But please take these figures with the estimates that they are. But anyway, back to Lauren Murphy. She was actually the 11th highest paid fighter on this card. Her base salary is $100,000. She obviously didn't win, but she got the Venom sponsorship of $32,000 for being a contender in a title fight. So she pulled $132,000. She was actually outpaid by people even on the prelims: Chris Dorcus, Mereb Dvashvili, Curtis Blaze, Jessica Andrade, Dan Hooker, all outpaying. Obviously, Robbie Lawler and Nick Diaz, the star power they've got, they obviously were outpaid by her. But some of these fighters way underneath her in terms of the card, getting significantly more payout than a title contender. But that's the UFC way, I suppose. So back to the rankings. So 3rd was Brian Ortega. I think that one was pretty much a given. His base salary was $300,000. Again, with that $32,000 sponsorship from Venom, he pulled $332,000. Good payout for him. And then the 2 champions were pretty close in terms of their money comparatively. Alexander Volkanovski, his base salary was $300,000. He got pay-per-view points for the event, being the champion. So he got 500,000 payment for that. There was 500,000 estimated bars, which leads to a payout of 400,000 for Volkanovski. He also pulled a performance of the night bonus and got the 42,000 Venom payment for being a champion. So his total was 792,000. Valentina Shevchenko did a little bit better. She got a base salary lower than Volkanovski, 200,000, but her contract also includes a win bonus, so she doubled up there. So that's 400,000 for the fight and the win. Again, with the pay-per-view points, she pulled 400,000. Performance of the night of 50,000 and sponsorship for being a champion of 42,000. So Valentina Shevchenko pulled $892,000. Good payout for Miss Valentina Shevchenko there. So jumping forward now to UFC 267. This was late October. And again, I'm going to focus on the two title matches, even though we also had Dan Hooker on this card, who was on the last card. He faced Islam Makhachev in the middle of the card, but we had essentially a bantamweight interim title match with Petr Yan taking on Corey Sandhagen, and we had the light heavyweight clash between Jan Blachowicz and newly crowned champion Glover Teixeira. And this throws up some interesting payouts. This had nowhere near the payouts of the last fight. So let's start with the four title match fights. So we go with Corey Sandhagen first. He was 9th on the payouts list. He scored $100,000 for his base salary. Clearly, didn't win, but did pick up $6,000 sponsorship. So he pulled $106,000. And the next fighter on the list is in spot 3. That's Petr Yan. He pulled a base salary of $200,000. Didn't get any pay-per-view points because he wasn't a champion going into the fight. The interim belt obviously being held up because of the ongoing issues with Aljamain Sterling, who I'm hearing now may be out till 2023, which is just ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. So because there was no champion and challenger set up, Petr Yan also only qualified for that $6,000 sponsorship, so he scored $206,000. Glover Teixeira next. He had a base salary of $200,000 with no win bonus, and a sponsorship of being the challenger of $32,000. No pay-per-view points for Glover either, so he got $232,000. Bear in mind that this is he's now the champion of the most talent-rich division. A lot of see the light heavyweight division as the kind of jewel in the UFC crown, and your current champion got paid $232,000. Jan Blachowicz, who was champion going into that event, he got a base salary of $500,000, no win bonus, but he did get pay-per-view points with the formula worked out via the antitrust lawsuit. He's for the 400,000 estimated bars that gives Jan Blachowicz $200,000. The sponsorship for being a champion, $42,000 from Venom, so a grand total of $742,000 for Jan Blachowicz. And it's interesting that two people on the last card scored more in terms of money than Jan Blachowicz did, and the top 10 all were, I mean, even going back, the top 12 people all scored over 100,000 on that card. Whereas, yeah, this card, the numbers quickly tumbled down to the point where even one of the biggest stars on the card, Khamzat Chimaev, is scoring less than 100,000, which is, it's quite a big disparity in terms of pay.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Go to powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT. Get your free month. Again, that's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
So going on to the most recent numbered pay-per-view that came essentially the week after UFC 267, that was UFC 268. Again, double title matches with Kamaru Usman taking on Colby Covington, Rose Namajunas defending her newly won strawweight title against Weili Zhang. Then we also actually opened the card with probably fight of the year so far, Justin Gaethje versus Michael Chandler. And then in the middle of the pack, we had Frank Edgar taking on Marlon Vera. So this was a stacked card. And the pay-per-view bars and the payouts do show that. MMAsalaries.com estimate that the pay-per-view bars were 650,000. So that takes the people with pay-per-view points up into the second tier or the third tier of payouts, which obviously means you get more for each ticket sold. So let's go through the winners and losers from this card. So Weili Zhang, she scored a 200,000 base. No win bonus because obviously she didn't win. A 32,000 Venom payout for a grand total of $232,000. Next up was Colby Covington, the challenger for the welterweight title against Kamaru Usman. His contract was a flat 600,000 pay, with 32,000 sponsorship from Venom for being a challenger. So his grand total is 632,000, already kind of outscoring a lot of the fighters on the two previous cards. Then we get to Rose Namajunas. Her flat pay is 250,000. She scored 42,000 off Venom for championship sponsorship. And then her pay-per-view payout was 725,000. So it really does show you how big the difference is when you go up those kind of sales brackets. And in a little while, I'll just go through some examples of the bigger cards. But yeah, essentially, Rose Namajunas, when you tot up all her figures, pulled a $1.01 million for a victory against Weili Zhang. And the big winner on this card was obviously Kamaru Usman. His contract is a flat $1 million per fight. Then he got the 42,000 Venom sponsorship. and then he got the same pay-per-view points as Rose Namajunas did, so he scored $720,000 there for a total payout of $1.76 million, which is just absolutely outstanding. Great payout for Kamaru Usman there. So yeah, I've talked a little bit about the antitrust and the way that MMA salaries and other sources all over the internet are able to kind of work out the pay that the fighters receive. So what was actually happening there was that Zuffa, the overarching company that owns UFC, were being sued in terms of the company becoming a monopoly. And that led to the fact that they had to release pay structures, and they had to release the kind of the algorithm that they work out to show how much they pay their fighters. So one of the interesting points was point 68, which says a fighter, if they have championship points privileges, can earn $1 for each pay-per-view ticket sold between 200,000 and 400,000. They will earn $2 for each pay-per-view ticket sold between 400,000 and 600,000, and $2.50 for each pay-per-view ticket sold over 600,000 tickets. So that gives us the opportunity then to kind of work out, and like I said, guesstimate, because you don't know the exact pay-per-view bar number, but with the sources that come out over the internet, you can kind of come up with a reasonable guess. So I just wanted to kind of go through some notable pay-per-view numbers to essentially give an idea of how much these fighters can earn on top of their contracts. So going all the way back to UFC 182, Jones versus Cormier, from January 3rd, 2015, the 800,000 estimated bars meant that Bones pulled, and I assume Cormier, because at the time he was obviously a former champion, so he probably still had the pay-per-view points in his contract, but with 800,000 bars, it shows that those fighters potentially pulled $1.1 million. Then going up to UFC 214, which was the sequel, Cormier versus Bones 2, and that says with the estimated 850,000 bars that the pay-per-view shares would be $1.25 million. So you can see how quickly the amount of bars going up means that you would start earning exponentially more money. So I'll go to UFC 217, which was headlined with multiple title fights, Bisping defending against George St. Pierre, Cody Garbrandt defending against TJ Dillashaw, and Joanna Jędrzejczyk taking on Rose Namajunas. So three title fights there. An estimated 870,000 bars means that the champions and anybody with pay-per-view points on their contract pulled $1.28 million. Going further up to UFC 158, that got 950,000 bars, headlined by GSP versus Nick Diaz, for a total of $1.475 million. The first million bar card was UFC 92, Forrest Griffin defended his light heavyweight title against Rashad Evans. That scored the fighters an estimated $1.6 million. UFC 114, headlined by Rampage Jackson and Rashad Evans, again a million bars, and that estimated a pay-per-view share of 1.6. Jose Aldo versus Conor McGregor from UFC 194 got an estimated 1.025 million bars, which meant that Jose Aldo and Conor at the time, who was on a huge contract, got $1.662 million in pay-per-view shares. UFC 200, headlined by Tate versus Nunes, got 1.09 million bars, which estimated to 1.5 million for Misha Tate going into that fight as champion. Going on to some of the more high pays, I'm going to skip a few because it, there's quite a lot of million plus bought UFC pay-per-views now. But so I'm going to go to the estimated top three paid UFC pay-per-views. So UFC 100, which was Brock Lesnar v Frank Mir in the title the heavyweight title match, and then GSP defending against Thiago Alves, estimated 1.6 million bars, which gave the champions going into that $3.1 million. And this is, bear in mind, this isn't their full payout. This is just the pay-per-view point. So this doesn't include their contractor pay, their bonus pays, their discretionary pays, their sponsorship pays. This is just for the amount of pay-per-view bars. UFC 202, Conor versus Diaz 2, estimated 1.65 million bars, which means that Conor and Nate pulled $3.25 million just from pay-per-view bars alone. And the biggest selling card to date so far, Habib Nurmagomedov takes on Conor McGregor, got 1.9 million bars, which is an estimated share to Habib and Conor of $3.85 million. So some huge, huge payouts by these pay-per-view numbers. And it's it just shows that there's a huge disparity between name value and how much money that you get paid out. And it pays to be these outlandish characters. I mean, even if we go back to the pay-per-views that we covered in this show, Colby Covington wasn't the champion, wasn't the hugest star in terms of recognition, I suppose, in the UFC, but because of how he portrays himself in the media, because of how he acts with his character, he's pushed himself into that higher echelon of pay to the point where his flat pay is way more than multiple champions in the UFC in all these six title fights. He's got the second highest flat pay of any fighter, and he wasn't even the champion. So he outranks five champions in terms of pay, which is just phenomenal. But yeah, just thought it would be interesting to have a little kind of dig into those financials. Like I said, we with the UFC kind of plowing through week on week and not being able to have a break, it's interesting to have this time to break down the numbers and look at the financials. I'm a very much a geek for stats and figures, so yeah, I always enjoy being able to run these numbers by you guys and give you the option to listen and kind of work out just how much these UFC fighters are getting paid. But that is all from me for this week. Come back next week when the UFC thankfully is back. We have got a Fight Night card headlined by Rob Font and Jose Aldo. Rob Font has been adamant that this fight should take him into title contention. So definitely tune in next week to hear the fallout from all that. But yep, this has been your boy Mags. Follow me on Twitter at PodfatherMags. Follow young Carlos at Kirby_Carlos. Follow the show at FiveRoundsPod. And definitely whilst you're here, go and check out all the rest of the amazing content that the networks that we're proud to be involved on are able to provide. Here at The Chair Shot, here at Radio Techers, and of course here at Visionaries Global Media. Without these guys and their support, Five Rounds wouldn't be the show that it is today, so we will always be extremely grateful and proud to be part of these amazing teams. So definitely go and give their other content a lot of love. But that's all from me, and that is the end.
thechairshot.com. Always use your head.